Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and we have Rosalie Ospaugh here, writer, director, and lead actor of The Hostess. And if you want to learn more about her, listen to the podcast episode before this one. But this one is she's answering the four questions, the Discover Indie Film four questions, which are favorite films of all time, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. Hi, Rosalie.
Hi.
Great to hear your voice. Go ahead. We'll talk about the TV series and stuff after. We'll wrap it up. But let's just jump into your list.
Okay. First of all, I'm very nervous to answer these questions, and I don't know why. But, okay, favorite films. This is a hard decision. But I'm going to say I feel like hands down my favorite is Love Actually. And I'm going to say the other two are Easy A and Monster.
The look on my face for Easy A is I've been begging the ladies I live with to watch it, and we haven't watched it yet. And it looks so good. I just keep saying, come on, it's Emma Stone, let's watch it.
I've seen it over a dozen times. And it's still funny to me.
And you started with Love Actually, which is a wonderful, I love.
So good.
I love all the Richard Curtis stuff, to be honest. But yeah. he's great. And that's a great film.
There's something about that one. You mean it goes back and forth between this is hilarious and this is a tearjerker. And just, you feel such a range of things watching that.
By the way, I'm writing down your picks as you're saying, so I'm nodding. I'm not texting someone.
What's his name? Bill Nighy.
Oh, he is the greatest.
Makes me laugh every time. Every time that opening.
Well, and the other amazing thing about I walked out of that film. I saw it in theaters, by the way. And I walked out and I said, of all the love stories, the love story between the rocker and his manager, just two beyond middle-aged men, two men in their 50s who actually are kind of married and love each other. I thought that was such a beautiful love story to put in with all the other, you know, all the attractive young couples.
Yeah, I love their story.
It is. And he's great in absolutely everything he's ever done.
He's so brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of those read the phone book actors where you're like, yeah, go ahead, read the phone book to me. I'll listen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I'm sorry, remind me your third, number three?
Monster.
Oh, the
Eileen Wuornos.
Yes.
The serial killer.
Oh, fantastic film.
So good. It's one of those like really shocking ones that I'm completely in awe of every time I watch it. I wish I knew who wrote it. Why don't I know who wrote it? What's wrong with me?
Did she not write it?
Who was the director? Patty Jenkins, did she direct it?
Think it was.
Yeah. But whoever wrote it,
I know everyone just associates it with Charlize.
Right. I mean, she's so brilliant in that. But
Patty Jenkins wrote and directed it.
She wrote and directed it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. So, okay. Patty Jenkins somehow, managed. God, I feel like I'm saying things that are going to make me sound like such a questionable person. Somehow managed to at least make me completely relate and empathize with a serial killer. Which is completely mind-blowing to me. And, how do you do that? How do you do that? She did it. But how do you do that?
When you picked Monster as one of your top three, it occurred to me to call back to the previous podcast where you talked about the script you're working on and how Monster is absolutely a film that takes something awful and looks at both sides and explains people,
right,
the depths of people and what they go through. And
she was
bad doing
victim.
Bad, good doing good, good doing bad, bad doing good. Like everyone is doing everything in that film.
Right. And she's a complete, at least the way it's portrayed in the film, she's a complete victim of sexual assault, horrible, brutal rape that is, like, one of the hardest things to watch that I've ever seen on film. And a victim of a society that is so cruel to people who have to go through that. Things that they don't choose. Things that are done to them, not that they actively choose. And the way the PTSD is depicted in that is, like, you don't see PTSD depicted very often.
Not you accurately. Don't. I feel normally, like, it's cheesy.
Yeah, or it's like, I don't watch a lot of war films, but I feel like it's more depicted in, like, you know, with, like, soldiers experiencing that. But you don't see films about PTSD for sexual assault or rape victims or, you know, people who are forced into prostitution because they have no other options.
Yeah, yeah, like, it deals with sex work, yeah.
It's a fierce film.
It is fierce, and it's wonderfully done, and it is interesting. It's a bravo. I'm applauding you on that choice.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I just makes my jaw drop.
Look how well balanced you are. Like, one of the most delightful romantic comedies of all time, and one of the harshest, purely independent. I mean, I don't think you get much more independent than that film. I mean.
Yeah.
Lord knows, obviously, Charlize jumping on board made a difference, but right. It still was gritty and real, and they didn't compromise.
And that was kind of before she was, like, super big.
Yeah, yeah.
I think. I don't know. I don't know her career enough to say that with total confidence.
What do you want to give your underrated pick?
My underrated pick. Okay. Oh, another Charlize Theron film. Underrated. Yes, underrated. Hang on. Underrated. Listen. Yes. Young adult.
Oh, that's where she's the writer. That's the Dakota. The writer.
Diablo Cody. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that movie so much. That was the one that, like, I wasn't sure if it was underrated. And my sister was like, it got really bad reviews. And I was like, okay, that's my underrated film.
It did. And I think everyone was ready to shit on it because Juno had been so big.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the follow up.
I like it better than Juno. I mean, Juno is so funny, but this one, again, this is one that, like, makes my jaw drop because I'm like, this character is horrible. I can't look away. I'm cringing and I don't understand why I care about her, but I do. And, like, how do you make something like that? I don't, it's just, it blows my mind. It really does. It's real. I think that's the thing, though. It's real. You see people doing that, like, the scene where she's, like, at the bar with the guy she's in love with, I can't remember his name, and she's just, like, falling all over him and, like, being so overtly flirtatious. It's like, oh my god, I can't watch this because it's real.
It's funny because you make me want to go back and I saw it when it came out and I haven't seen it since. So now you make me want to see it again because I'm totally guilty of everything. I'm guilty that I was ready to not like Diablo Cody because there was all the bad press she got because Juno was like an adaptation and she got best original screenplay.
Oh, I didn't know.
It's based
that.
On this Korean film. I know, I am repeating it. I shouldn't bother. She's a great writer and her TV series have been great. So
I don't even know her TV series.
Well, she
I
did that in United up. States of Tara, which was super.
Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah.
That
yeah. Talk about a female lead that tears the world apart.
Toni Collette. She's so good.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I love young adult.
Excellent. Okay, I want to watch it again now.
You should definitely watch it again.
And now, rubbing the hands together, overrated?
Okay, this one's really hard. And again, God. La La Land.
No, that's valid. Valid. And believe me, a lot of people have actually...
Really?
I think it's the most picked overrated. Well, I mean,
I feel less alone.
It was Bex Fischer for like... 35 seconds,
yeah. You know, on NPR, they have a, like, a line of the year that they say, like, this is the most popular word of the year. This is the most this of the year. This is the best color of the year. Anyways, the line of the year was, and best picture goes to, opening the envelope, La La Land. And that was, like, the line that NPR chose as the line of the year.
Madness. Just man, it was. It was madness. I felt so bad for everyone involved.
Right? Like, both films involved in that, like everyone going up, yikes. But yeah, La La Land, it looked so good based on the trailers. It looked so good, and it was really, really hyped up. And I'm such a musical theater fan, and my sister actually has a master's in musical theater composition. And so I've learned quite a bit about the musical theater format and why it's successful, why they made it the format. I think it was, I want to say, like, Showboat was the first one that really, like, adopted this specific format for musicals. And, like, Oklahoma had, like, really refined it. But there's a reason that they're so successful. And it's this, and it's a formula. Once you learn about it, you can go through all the musicals and be like, okay, so this song takes place at this point in time, and it's for a very specific purpose. And this film, like, I understand that it was a throwback to, like, the 1930s type of musicals. Those are not the type of musicals that are successful and appeal to audiences at this time. So I was expecting it to have a musical theater format.
Right, and it definitely didn't.
It definitely, definitely didn't. So yeah, it just, I loved the first 30 minutes.
Interesting. I loved the first 30 minutes.
And
I love the last 30.
Really?
Okay. I love that ending. Actually, I have a La La Land story.
Okay.
I'll try to tell it as quickly as possible. I saw it. And I could barely stand the first... It's 2.5 hours or 2 hours? It's
probably
long.
It's 2 hours.
And for 90 minutes, I'm like, what's all the hoopla about? I don't like this film. I don't even like these people. She doesn't even deserve to make it. She's not even nice to people when she's waiting at the counter. And then that ending kicked my ass.
Really?
The ending segment just kicked my ass. Just because it was them not being like a love story of... It doesn't work out between them. So, right. So it got me. And then I get on a cruise ship like a year later and it's on a channel that's over. So I see the last half hour again and love it again. And I actually weep. I actually cry. And then I see come back to the room one night, the next night, and I see like the last 45 minutes and love it. And then I see the last hour. I kept catching it earlier until I finally caught it from the beginning. And then I'm like, oh my God, this film that I thought sucked is amazing.
So maybe I should watch it like in increments going backwards.
Now that you're well removed from the hype and well removed from the trailers and everything, if you watched it again, you might see something. Like I might see, I might see young adult and have it click. Maybe it'll click for you. Maybe not. Maybe you have to be trapped in the middle of the ocean in a little cabin with no windows to appreciate La La Land. I don't know. But
yeah,
makes me cry like a child.
I find it very hard to watch films about artists.
Yes.
I find, like, regardless of the artist, I find it really hard to watch them.
Well, and it was hard to watch him be like, the jazz pianist and John Legend be like, you know, there's a lot going on in that film that could turn you off the first time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it is so hard to, especially with us in Los Angeles, like when your lead character is an aspiring actress, that's a big ask.
That is a big ask.
To have us have her back.
Right.
If she's not super.
I loved the audition scenes because those are like very easy to relate to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, La La Land.
La La Land.
Good, absolutely valid everything's valid, but yes. And your last one is, yes, is a lesser known film.
Lesser known film. Okay. Again, these are like, I don't know if these are lesser known. I think they are. Can I give two?
Sure.
Okay. Awesome. Is it the, I don't remember if there's a the, I think it's just Bachelorette, and it's, based on a play by Leslie Headland. It is the play. It's just the movie of the play.
Is it older? Is it from?
You know, from, I think it came out at the same time as Bridesmaids, and it is not similar to Bridesmaids, but it is about bridesmaids. and so from what I understand, it got very, very overshadowed by that. But yeah, whenever that came out, was that 2011, 12, 10, 2010? I don't know. But it's really funny. It's, again, it's kind of dark. They're, you know, they're, the main characters are not good people. They're just not. But you care about them anyways. And it's really funny, though.
Really, 2012, directed, written and directed by Leslie Headland.
Yeah.
And starring, Kirsten Dunst and Isla Fisher and Lizzie Kaplan.
Yeah. There and it's go. Got, like, James Marsden and Adam Scott.
See, this is Rebel a lesser Wilson. Known that I should seek out because I like everyone involved in this film.
It's great. I've watched it multiple times. Yeah.
Excellent. And the you have dialogue. Another. You have another.
Yes, I do. This one is Camp X-Ray. I have no idea when this one was made. It's a, you know, indie film with Kristen Stewart in it. It's when she was younger, but it's about, not like super young or anything, but...
she's always been young.
It's set at Guantanamo Bay, I think, and it's about a soldier who develops a friendship with one of the... they call them detainees.
Yeah,
I don't know
yeah.
if that's like...
They are
right.
called... Yeah, and it is.
And it starts off with, like, her job is to wheel around the book cart and give it to them through the little slot. And the this guy, he's like, you know, he asks for, I think it's like, I think he asks for the seventh Harry Potter book. And she's like, I don't have that. I can give you, like, books 1 through 4 or whatever. And it's, like, this great moment where he's like, no, you don't understand. Like, can I feel like everyone has either seen or read Harry Potter at this point, but, like, you know, the cliffhanger at the end of the 6th book, and he's like, I need to know what happens in the 7th book!
So it's actually a bit light and funny, too? Or
No.
It can't
that's
at Guantanamo.
That's the introduction between them, which is just something that's extremely relatable.
Right.
It was so smart that they made that the introduction of an accused terrorist and, you know, an American soldier. Like, that's a thing. Because it is like, you can always connect to people from different backgrounds, no matter what. And I feel like Harry Potter is like worldwide, so huge that like you immediately like feel something for him.
It's yeah. One of the biggest phenomenons in history.
Yeah. But it's really, it's so amazing. This like, it's hard, maybe not friendship, but they develop a certain basic human level respect. Like, the human dignity, you know, the way they're treated there. You know, she starts to realize, like, they don't deserve to be treated like this. Like,
yeah.
I'm taught, I'm, like, drilled that they are supposed to be treated this horribly. And then she starts just through conversation. I mean, I don't think they, it's been a while since I watched it, but I don't think they interact much. It's like they're talking through like a slot in the door.
Sounds very interesting.
It's really good.
I hadn't heard of it before.
Yeah. Camp
and
X-Ray.
Yeah. 2014, written and directed by Peter Sattler. And like you said, Kristen Stewart, who I think she kind of gets picked on a little too much.
I love her.
I think she's good, and it's not her fault that Twilight was what it was.
Yeah, like, definitely
she
not.
She was good in it.
Yeah. You know. And, you know, she does so many good indie films that I'm sure would not have been greenlit without having Twilight on her resume. So it's
for
like,
sure.
Yeah. She does a lot of good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I feel like people don't watch the lesser known stuff because it's just like, Twilight.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's a different world, right? Because when we had video stores, it was easier to Twilight was sold out for the night. So you'd pull another VHS. And now with streaming, you never have to go to your second or third choice, right? So I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to wrap it up now and mention all the things I'm supposed to mention. Rosalie Allspaugh just answered the four questions, the Discover Indie Film four questions. And if you want to see her film, The Hostess, go to Discover Indie Film, go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film, and go to Season 4, Episode 6. You're not going to be sorry. It's a great film. And if you want to learn more about Discover Indie Film, which is this podcast that gave birth to a TV series, go to discoverindiefilm.com, and on social media, it's at DIFWINS. And the reason Rosalie's film is in this TV series and she's talking on this podcast is because her film, The Hostess, was at Film Invasion Los Angeles in June of 2020 in the heat of COVID or the whatever, the dark days. And that film is, that festival is every June. So learn more at filminvasionla.com and on social media, it's at filminvasionla. And there's a sister festival to FILA, as we call it, which is the Sherman Oaks Film Festival that's every November. And you can learn about that at ShermanOaksFF.com and at ShermanOaksFF on social media. And we're done. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.